Hey, what's going on? This is the Educated Guest Podcast, and I'm Justin, your host. Hey, if this is your very first time listening, then welcome and thank you. You know, if you found your way here, then it probably means that you've grown tired, you've grown frustrated of sort of the transactional approach to art and design education and education as a whole. Quite honestly, you've learned the lesson, and most people here have learned the lesson of simply going to the bank of information that is the internet right now and asking for a dollar in and expecting to get $2 out in perpetuity. Number one, that takes a toll. And number two, it doesn't always give you the return you're expecting. And most people here understand that. And most people are remaining here because they have a stronger desire to reach something that's more transformational in nature. Understanding that the pillars that you want to set up in your life and in your art life and your design life and in your career is more holistic, and it's not so transactional and divorced from the reality of everyday nuances. So what we do, the way we structure our pedagogy, is quite simple. It happens in three main pillars. The first is focused on the development of the mind of the artist. So what we do is that we study psychological trends, we study philosophical trends, and we try to distill that down into something that's applicable to your everyday life. And that's called our incomplete thoughts segment. The second of which is called our work study segment. This is focused on years of compounded information, application, and case studies that are very applicable to the everyday do's and don'ts of practicing professionally, whether that be as an employee or as an owner. And then lastly, what we try to do is offer a new mode of inspiration. So who are those people that followed a non-traditional path in practicing their craft? And what we try to do is highlight those misfits, highlight those outliers, and tell their stories, both in a dialogue format and in a monologue format. So sometimes we'll bring them on, and sometimes we'll just referentially talk about them. All right, so it seems I've outlasted the intro music, which is okay. I often do that. If you're interested in more stuff like what I've talked about, and if you feel that you have some of these problems, and if you feel that this seems like a familiar space and a place and a comfortable place for you to begin to solve them, then you can go to educated-guest.com and also at educated_guest on Instagram to get more information like this. So all those things said, today we're talking about a pretty timely topic. Most often we do quite evergreen content, yet today we're doing something that's of particular importance during this time of the year. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about the quarterly planning schedule for both business and life and business. So this is applicable if you're someone that owns a studio, if you're someone that owns a brand, or if you're someone that simply works for someone else and is trying to get more control over the time when you'll be able to leave the company, perhaps, or maybe when you're trying to work your way up the ladder. So what we're going to do today is talk about three steps that we recommend taking to simplify the quarterly planning process, and maybe tell a couple of stories of failed planning processes and a couple of success stories if we have time. So that said, let's go ahead and jump right into it. First and foremost, I figure it's worthwhile to talk about, maybe at a basic level, the quarterly system. And believe me, I don't want to dumb this down too much for anyone in particular, but what I hope to do is just establish a level playing field of the quarterly system that we're referring to. And quite frankly, it operates on just a tax basis and typically on a fiscal schedule. Typically, companies will have a fiscal year and then a calendar year. Basically, what that means is it's more advantageous for them to report their profit and loss statement during a certain cadence of the year versus the calendar year. So for example, some companies will have particular accounting firms in particular, they will have a off-kilter professional services firms in general, it seems like, they'll have an off-kilter fiscal year that is not in line at all with the calendar year. Like their fiscal year end in June and the new year will start in July or something like that. So if you're just a small company, if you're a small practice, if you're a small studio, probably makes the most sense to just align your fiscal year with the calendar year, especially if you're a sole proprietor or if you are doing business as a DBA. This is all legal talk. Then it makes the most sense to perhaps simply align your year with the normal tax year. And that way you can do your taxes at the same time you've always been doing them. And you don't have to do them anything crazy. So barring the potential that you are highly leveraged against some other vendor or some other debt that you pay off at a consistent time of the year based on some contract and all that stuff, chances are high that you'll just need to be operating and planning your life on the regular quarterly system like everybody else does. And this three-step process that we've outlined and we've created is pretty standard across the board for all scenarios. So feel free to go deeper on any one particular part, flip something around, turn something sideways, really make these Legos work for you and make the Rubik's Cube of planning sort of align in your own way. So there's three main phases to the quarterly planning system that we have outlined. And what it's focused on is simply getting rid of the mess, getting rid of the debt, getting rid of the technical debt, cleaning up the backlog of your life, and then adding the new. So it's very, very simple. And it consists of these three phases. Phase one is the reconciliation phase, or otherwise stated, reconcile. Second one is the phase of replacing. So this is all about bringing something new, planting new seeds. And then the last one is about reaching. So we call this the reach phase. So again, reconcile, replace, and reach. And as you go about your quarter, and most people's quarters, like I said before, will end in September. Q3 will end in September. And then you'll have October, November, December as Q4. And typically, if you're starting on October 1st, whether you're in school, out of school, you know, whether you are, again, an owner or an employee, it doesn't matter. You are the owner of your own life. That's the point here. You're the owner of your own life and your own creative practice. So if you're waking up on October 1st at 8 a.m. or whatever, 7:30 or what have you, and that's when you start your day, and you wake up on October 1st and you decide on October 1st that you're going to start figuring out what you're doing November 1st, December 1st, or even like October 1st for some, you're so far behind. You're incredibly far behind. And that's okay, because if you're listening to this, then it means that you care to know how to get ahead. And it's worth noting that we're not necessarily talking about getting ahead of anyone in particular. It's about extracting the most out of your life that you possibly can. And in order to do that, it takes this sort of three-step approach in whatever format you deem appropriate for you. So let's go ahead and dig into it. If we've outlined, and maybe you've taken note, you've outlined sort of these three phases, three chevrons, or maybe three bubbles, if you will, on a piece of paper. And underneath column one, what I want you to do is start thinking about this question. The core question about the reconciliation process is about, where have you been spending time? So ask yourself, where have I been spending time doing things that are fast and easy and cheap? That means quick in, quick out, easy come, easy go. Otherwise noted as waste of time. And it's harsh to maybe say waste of time. That's why I mentioned sort of cheap, fast, and easy, that sort of framework of thinking about it, because these are things that are just deposits to just clear the balance. It's like having a balance paid and you just clear it. And it's like, okay, cool. Well, at least I'm out this month. Like I've broken even. It's the break even point. So some things aren't necessarily waste of time, but you're just barely getting by. So some examples of things you might list out on this reconciliation column would be, simply all the stress that you put into thinking about eating. And I use this because it's very frequent that if you're in your mid 20s or you're maybe mid 30s, that, you know, you don't really place that big of a priority on everyday eating, particularly if you're in that in between, you know, you don't have grown kids yet and you don't really have like a typical schedule. Maybe you're living out of an apartment, so you don't even have a kitchen table. But it's just around 6:30, 7:30 or whatever, you're starting to think about, well, what am I about to eat? if you're asking yourself the question, what am I going to eat tonight? Think about how much effort and energy is sort of put into that feat. And think about, it's not so much to say that, oh, you shouldn't enjoy your food. Think about the energy you put into what you're going to eat that night and the outcome that you get. People will spend 35 minutes, 45 minutes thinking about what their options are to eat just to order Chipotle off of DoorDash. And it's like, dude, you're getting Chipotle value, which is, I love Chipotle. You're getting Chipotle value with, if you value your time, you spent, you know, let's say you're out, an hour of your time costs $250 an hour. If you're valuing it that, or $200 or even $100 an hour, you spend $100 an hour trying to get $8 of value out. Well, just the math on that is absurd. So thinking about the next meal is something that's a near waste of time in most cases, based on the output that you frequently have. The next thing is, another example is simply, you know, running errands. Think about, I did this week. A good example is I had to go pick up batteries for a clock that I just bought. And I wanted to buy the clock because I knew that I was trying to get my phone out of the bedroom. And as a result, I needed to have a normal alarm clock that didn't operate off of my phone, so I could just wake up to the alarm and turn it off and that's it. And then go check my phone in the other room whenever I get around to it. So I get the clock and the clock shows up, has no batteries. I need three AAA batteries. By the way, a package of AAA batteries costs about $8 at Target. So the process of going to pick up an $8 value of batteries at the price is like, you know, it took me about 35 to 45 minutes to go find the aisle with the batteries on it, get out of there, come back home, put the battery to throw the bag away. Like, that's an hour thing. To go pick up batteries for an alarm clock is an hour process. Whether you believe it or not, all in all, it's an hour. So again, if you value your time at $100 or $200 an hour, going to get batteries, you spent $200 of your time to go purchase something that's worth $8 or purchase something at the market value of $8. So hopefully you're getting my line of thinking here. So another thing is, like, you know, conference calls. Those are frequently like 30 minutes to an hour. Checking Facebook and Instagram, that's frequently, every session is usually like 20 minutes to 30 minutes. Checking email. Email is so frustrating for me. And that's another thing that's just a reconciled, cheap, fast, easy way of like getting a dopamine hit because you think you're doing something, but really and truly, you're expending tons of front-end energy for little throughput of value. So again, think about that relation of cost to benefit, simple cost benefit analysis of how you're spending your time. And just write maybe five things. See if you can stretch and write eight things that you know that you're, you know, not spending your time well on. All right. So now that you have those in the first column, what I want you to do and invite you to do is go to that second column. And in that second column, we're going to refer again back to our framework at the top of it. And it should say replace. So you've reconciled and now it's time to replace. You know, anytime you start clearing out the closet, the barrenness eventually drives you just as crazy as, you know, you become addicted to the barrenness. And you start judging others who don't have anything on their list. And that's not the goal. You don't want to just stop thinking about meals so you can just forget about meals, like, or forget about eating and start chastising anyone who, you know, doesn't eat or doesn't, you know, waste their time thinking about food. That's not the point here. The point here is to truly evaluate inefficiencies so that you can make room for more valuable and more creative tasks. So an example here is simple. The time you spend 45 to 50 minutes on the day of trying to think about what you're eating for dinner could be placed on planning out your meal for the next 3 days so that you can have more, honestly, more gratifying meals than a Chipotle bowl that you're going to have to think about again the next day. So some good examples, a good core question here to think about in this column is simple, is, you know, what are some things that I can do? Again, putting myself in your shoes, what are some things that I can do that would make others say, actually, nah, on second thought, I'm good on that. So what are we saying here? What are we saying with the I'm good on that? We're saying that, in other words, what are some things that are going to help you stretch the distance between yourself and your highest self and your lowest self? That's what we're trying to do. You're only competing with yourself. Most people are going to think that, oh, we're talking about the next person and like the person who's down the street and the person who's on Instagram. Like, nobody cares about them. Nobody, you shouldn't be focusing on them. Instead, how can you create separation from your old self, both in skill set, both in mindset, in tolerance, mental toughness, all these different categorical truths that you can evaluate about how you live your life? How do you create that separation from your old self? Cool. So some good examples here are exercising. And everybody knows that exercise is pretty good for you, you know, pretty essential. How can you get, it's not just going to the gym. How can you get even more discreet in the way that you're evaluating the way you go to the gym? Because most people say, oh, I'm going to the gym. Like, but how are you going to the gym? Are you taking BCAAs every time you go to make sure that you get the most out of your exercise? Like, are you getting appropriate amounts of vitamins all the time? You know, maybe your lack of energy is not necessarily due to, you know, your sleep. Maybe it has to do with the amount of, you know, magnesium you're getting. Maybe it has to do with the amount of potassium you're getting, the amount of sodium you're getting, healthy sodium, not salt, but the sodium that actually blends itself between potassium and sodium that fuels your body when you're in a fasted state or when you're in a, you know, engaged state in the gym or anything like that. So what are some healthy practices that you can begin getting super discreet on? These are like, you know, biohacking, quote unquote, is very common, but why is biohacking common? Stop trying to chastise people who are quote unquote biohacking their lives. Instead, start evaluating, well, why did they even think to do that? Well, maybe it's because at a certain point you start realizing that the easy wins are pretty, you know, the most, you begin to plateau at a certain point. It's like going to the gym and lifting weights. I mean, it's not, anybody can go and in 6 months roughly look decent at the beach. But it's, you know, what separates the pro athlete from the everyday person at the beach? It's that extra squeeze of the 5%. Most people can get 90% of the way, 85% of the way, 95% of the way even. But who's squeezing that extra 5% out? These are the people that you remember. These are the names that you remember. And again, back to that core question, what are the things you can do that make others say, nah, on second thought, I'm actually good. You know, I don't want it that badly. So again, some of the other examples are reading books, cutting costs, creating and improving your skill set. So if you're a graphic designer, how many posters are you going a day? This is the whole 5 beats a day for 3 summers example. How many beats are you making a day? Everybody likes that line, but if you've ever tried to do that, then you know how absurd that is. And you start to wonder, did he really do that? And you want to live the life that, if you care to stretch yourself and get the most out of this lemon that is your life, then you want to live the life that others look at and say, did he really do that? Except you know that you did. And imagine looking at your own life and say, did I really do that? Have I really lived this way? Have I really done this much? Have I really gotten this much out of the lemon that I was given? Those are the sorts of mentalities and mental shifts that we want to give to ourselves as a gift. And then lastly, as you might have noted, you know, we've talked a lot about prepping yourself personally, both by simply evaluating inefficiencies again in that reconciliation phase, number one, and number two on your paper, the second column is that, you know, replacing phase, that regeneration phase. Like, what are you going to put in place of this thing that was cut out? And then lastly, we're talking about how it blends in from professional life to personal life and back and vice versa. You know, if the questions before were about how do you create again, how do you move from doing things that just have a quick, easy payoff, quick, fast, cheap, and payoff to the things that are the long hauls, that are the long-term thoughts, that are the difficult things, that are the expensive things. You know, what are those investments, those bets that you're placing? Now this is about building the habits to support those bets. It's one thing to show up at the poker table or to show up at, you know, the blackjack table and you just happen to be having a lot of money and you say, hey, I can, and I'm not a gambler per se. Better example is fantasy football. That's something I actually play. It's one thing to show up to a fantasy football league and, you know, join the league at $1,000 a head to get in, and the payout is whatever that is. I guess that'd be like 12,000 or 11,000 if it's a 12-person league. The thing is, you can have all of that. You can do the expensive thing by joining the big league. But if you get in this gambling league and you get in this league, again, gambling and fantasy football being a metaphor for the way you live your creative life, and you have done this expensive thing, but you actually haven't built any habits to support the fact that you're in this expensive league, you will simply be losing money. It's like throwing money down the drain. So if you, again, to bring things back to reality, if you say that, oh, well, I'm cutting out, you know, thinking about the next meal. I'm going to plan the day on, you know, the night before. I'm not going to wake up in the morning not knowing what I'm doing that day. And you cut those things out. And then let's say you start, well, I'm going to do meal prep. I'm going to start exercising 10 times a day. I'm going to do this and the third. If you do these things, but you don't know how to appropriately allocate your time to each one, then you're going to be just like the person who joins a fantasy football league and has no idea what they're doing because you haven't actually done the homework. So this is your homework. I would do, under this third column, reach, ask yourself, if I was my own coach, this is the core question. If I was my own coach, looking at my life from a high level, again, your highest self, what are the six assignments? And we're going to talk about why six in a second. What are the six assignments I would give to myself for this upcoming quarter? The reason we phrase the question that way is that it automatically places your mindset into, you know, there's many different religions, many different psychological studies, philosophical, you know, allegories out there that talk about this, the separation of the highest and the lowest self. You know, you can go all the way back to sort of the teachings of the chakra and how they stack up upon one another, and the lowest self being your most animalistic, the first chakra, the bottom chakra, and the highest one being your third eye, that most associated with wisdom. So what you're trying to do is use and recognize both ends of your spectrum of being and simply say, I'm going to operate from the third eye. I'm going to operate from a wisdom standpoint and be my own coach. I don't need to go call 17 different people. I know what's best for me. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do. Everybody. And if you don't know, you know who you could call. You know at least the first three steps that you could take at, you know, most people who are grown adults know the first three steps they could take to do the right thing. However, either they've built up so much debt of the wrong thing and the wrong emotions that they can't even potentially care to go through the woods to get to the right thing, or they've simply ignored or discounted all that they know is true. So anywho, back to the point here. When you ask yourself, what assignments can you give yourself? You're placed into this, you know, this split self where you say, okay, well, in personal life, what are three things? What are three assignments? And in professional life, what are three assignments? So what this will end up looking like is that in your personal life, you might have something that says, you know what, like, this is for all the people who are dating or like married or anything like that. I currently don't have a system for actually making sure that we go on dates all the time. And as a result, you get to the end of every month and you realize you've only gone out purposefully once or no times, period. So you might get to the end of the quarter and it takes about a month and a half for things to sort of deteriorate. In the same way that habits are built in about 21 to 30 to 45 days, somewhere in that time frame, depending on which study you follow, habits can deteriorate in that same time. So you can go from being on cloud nine in your relationship and in your friendships to literally the bottom of the barrel in about a month and a half. So the important thing to do is build the habit in place that says, what is the system I need to create to make sure that we spend time together? What is the system I can create to make sure that my family hears from me? What is the system I can create to make sure that I stop eating after 10 p.m.? These are the systems that need to be created that will support the intentions from before when you were replacing things. Likewise, in the professional column, make sure that you have systems that are set in place to say, it says, hey, this is not a goal. This is a system we're intending to set up to how can we collect 10 new emails per month? So that's 10 new contacts that are in our Rolodex that'll either be future customers, future partners, you know, future mentors. Those are the three sort of buckets. And then, you know, how do you earn a certain amount per month? How do you reduce costs by a certain amount per month? These are the intentions that you're trying to set, the systems that you know that need to be in place to have long-term change. And most people will ask, well, why don't you set goals? Why isn't the reach section all about setting goals? And the reason is because goals don't necessarily help you stay flexible in the day-to-day, because what's going to happen is that you're going to do this exercise, then day two, day three, day four, you're going to get slapped in the face and your goals don't necessarily mean anything. You can have a goal to knock somebody out in a boxing match, but when you step in the ring, you get hit with an uppercut you weren't prepared for, then what you gonna do? So these intentions are all about the systems that are gonna help you adapt to any goal, any objective, any objection to your life, and it helps you stay flexible. So again, try these three categories out: reconcile, replace, reach. And hopefully at the end of the day and at the end of your quarter, you are in a different place, not just with your profession, not just with your ability to do typography, design, structure, 3D modeling, any of that stuff, but also in your relationships and your family and your friendships and your spirituality and your clarity and your calmness and your mental capability and your learning, all these different categoricals that all these different categories that matter. So if you follow this and you like this, then you can go to educated-guest.com, subscribe to our email newsletter where you can get more information just like this. And also, if you want to just talk back to us, you can go to @educated_guest on Instagram and send us a note, send us a message, comment, like, subscribe. I think that's what they say to say. And also, one more thing. If you've been following for a while and you like what we do, you believe in the mission, both short term and long term, then go to the Apple Podcasts. I've been told this is helpful. Never asked anything of this community before, but if you go to Apple Podcasts and just simply leave a review, hopefully it's a good review. Hopefully you enjoy this. You know, if you don't like it, then just actually don't leave a review. Matter of fact, go to leave a review. Say one thing that you've learned that just been directly applicable to your day-to-day life. And, you know, we would love to hear from you. So thank you so much again for all your support and for people around the world listening. This is super, you know, whatever time zone you're listening to this in. Thank you. That's all we have. Talk to you soon.